We continue our study on the topic of prayer, and today I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, and I'm not going to read that passage entirely today, but I hope you'll keep your Bibles open because we're going to refer to some verses as we go along, because we sing a good portion of what's in that text just a few moments ago. This passage is often called the Lord's Prayer, and Luke's version is a little different than Matthew's version, and the one that you're probably most familiar quoting is probably out of Matthew's Gospel, but I went to Luke's Gospel for a reason this morning. This passage is often called the Lord's Prayer. Some people call it the Model Prayer. I heard about two men who were out walking one day, and one guy challenged his buddy, saying, "You think you're so religious, but I bet you can't even quote to me the Lord's Prayer." He said, "In fact, I'll bet you $10 you can't quote to me the Lord's Prayer." His buddy says, "I'll take you up on that bet." And so he started quoting the Lord's Prayer. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." His buddy pulled out $10, said, "I didn't think you could do it." Most of us are familiar, though, with the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but I prefer to call it the Model Prayer because I believe it is not something that we simply repeat. It is a framework or basis upon which all of our prayers are based, and I want us to take a look at that this morning. But what is interesting to me in Luke chapter 11, it says, "It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he was finished, one of his disciples came and said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.'" Now that's interesting to me that they would ask Jesus to teach them how to pray. Because if you look through the Gospel of Luke, you see Jesus doing some spectacular things. In Luke chapter 4, for instance, Jesus has cast out demons and he's raised the sick. In Luke chapter 5, he had cleansed the leper, which was considered an incurable disease, and he had made the lame to walk. In Luke chapter 7, he heals the centurion's son and raises a widow's son from death to life. In Luke chapter 8, he calms the raging sea and cleanses a demoniac that is possessed not with just one demon, but a whole legion of demons. In Luke chapter 9, he feeds 5,000 men with a few loaves of bread and two small fish. And what's even more interesting, he takes up the leftovers and has 12 big baskets of leftovers for the folks to take home. These are just a few of the miracles that Luke records for us in the early days of Jesus' ministry. But when the disciples come to Jesus in Luke chapter 11, they don't ask him, "How do we cast out demons? How do we multiply loaves of bread and fish?" They don't ask him, "How do we raise people from death to life? How do we calm the raging seas?" They don't ask him any of those things, and those were pretty big deals of what Jesus did. But they looked at Jesus, and they saw the way he prayed, and they came to Jesus, and they said, "Jesus, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray." And I think one reason why they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray is they realized there was a connection between Jesus doing the great miracles that he did and the prayer life that he had. And I sometimes wonder if we would see more miracles if we learned to pray as Jesus prayed. Now, we see miracles all the time, but I wonder sometimes if we would not see a greater outpouring of God's miracles if we learned to pray the way Jesus prayed. And so I want to talk about that this morning. This is Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray, and he gives them, I think, a model prayer, a prayer upon which to base all of our prayers. Is it not a prayer that's simply to be quoted like the Pledge of Allegiance? Though I think there's times when we need to learn it, memorize it, and repeat it. But it is a model to teach us how to pray. It gives us those elements or that framework upon which all of our prayers should be based. And this morning I want to give you an acrostic, A-C-T-S, A-C-T-S. You know what an acrostic is? The first letter in that acrostic stands for a word that follows, A-C-T-S. So I want us to go through that. And the first one is A. A stands for adoration, adoration. Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, and he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Holy is your name. This is adoration. Hallowed or holy is your name. When we pray, we should come to God and we praise God for who he is. This prayer is based on a relationship. Jesus says you pray to him as your heavenly Father. You know, prayer doesn't mean much if it's not based on that relationship. We need a relationship with the Heavenly Father. We need to know Him as our personal Father, our personal God. And we do that through having a relationship through Jesus Christ, His Son. But when we have that relationship, we come to Him as the Heavenly Loving Father, and we begin by praising Him for who He is. He is our Heavenly Father, and He is holy. But we could praise Him for more than just the fact that He is holy. We could praise Him for other characteristics. And we've done this since I've been here. We've had times on Wednesday night and Sunday night. We've sort of gone through these I praise you prayers. And we praise God for His character. He's holy. He's loving. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. You can think of all those characters. You think about his nature, his purpose. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's a jealous God. In other words, he will not share his glory with another. He doesn't want us worshiping other gods. He wants us to follow him and him alone. And when we pray, we need to think of some of those characteristics of God and praise Him for those characteristics. And you say, well, I don't know how to find those. Well, just get in the book of Psalms and start reading a little bit, because practically every one of the Psalms either begins or ends with a word of praise, and it praises God for His character, His nature, and His purpose. And anytime we pray, we sometimes begin with our needs. And I want to encourage you, when you pray, and everybody can pray, start with God's character, God's nature, God's purpose. Praise Him for who He is. Sometimes you may wonder why we sing hymns before we preach. It's following this pattern, Brother Bill. We come together first, we adore Him, and then we listen to Him through His Word. But we come to adore Him in praise and in worship, in singing. And then we come to hear His Word and what He has to say to us. So that first word is adoration. The first part of the acrostic, A-C-T-S, adoration. Holy is your name. But it's not just His holiness. It's all of His character, His nature, and His purpose. We praise God for who He is. The second element is confession. Verse 4, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Confession is that second part. The word confession literally means to say the same thing. That's what the Greek word means, and the New Testament was written in Greek. And literally it means to see ourselves and our sin the way God sees it, and to say the same thing about it. Now, a lot of times we just want to excuse our sin. Oh, that was a mistake. Oh, no, that's not really sin. That's just a blip on the radar. It didn't really matter. Listen, every sin, small or large, every sin you commit nailed Jesus to the cross and caused Him pain. We should never trivialize sin. We need to confess it. We need to see it the way God sees it. And we need to confess it to Him. We need to say the same thing about our sin that God says about it. And a part of prayer is coming to God. Before we ever ask Him to meet our needs, we need to confess to Him our failures. We need to acknowledge to Him we have been living in sin, we are wrong, and we need to confess to Him our sin. So there's an element of confession. You know, our sin cost God His own one and only Son on the cross. And every sin has a consequence in this life and in the next. And it cost the Heavenly Father dearly as He saw His own Son nailed to the cross. Never trivialize sin. And when we come to God in prayer, we confess to Him our sin, our wrongs, and acknowledge to Him we need His forgiveness. The third word or letter in the acrostic is T, and that stands for thanksgiving. That stands for thanksgiving. Now, the latter part of the chapter, the latter part of these verses that we have this morning, in chapter 11, verse 5, Jesus gives us a parable. He says, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut. My children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, and we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, having persistence in our prayer, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And then verse 9 he says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And again, in the original language, the Greek language, those words, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. It's actually the idea of what we call continuous language. It's not only ask, but keep on asking. Not only seek, but keep on seeking. Not only knock, but keep on knocking. It's not a one-time thing. It's a keep on doing, keep on doing. There's a persistence there. And implied in that whole thing, he says, when you keep on asking, God's going to answer. When you keep on knocking, God's going to open. When you keep on seeking, you're going to find. But implied in all of that is when we receive what we've asked, we ought to be thankful for God, to God for what He's done. Can you imagine somebody coming to their neighbor asking for bread late at night and then you walk away without saying thank you? I needed a loaf of bread. I woke up you and all the kids just to get it. And I'm not going to thank you. You should have done it without receiving thanks. Can you imagine that? And I can't imagine God answering our prayer and us walking away from Him without giving Him a word of thanks, saying to Him, thank you for what you have done. Implicit in the very command to keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking is the promise that whatever we ask, we shall receive. And implicit in that truth is the concept that we should be thankful for everything that God gives us, for every answer God gives us. Even when His answer is no, we need to be thankful for that answer. Because He will always do that which is for His glory and for our good. He will always do that which is, first of all, for His glory and for our good. And so even when He says no to us in prayer, we need to be thankful for the no. I've told my kids no, haven't you? And I did it for their own good. I want to eat one more piece of candy, Daddy. One more piece. Well, you've already had 10 pounds of candy. One more piece will not do you any good. No! And sometimes we ask God to give us things that aren't good for us, and He tells us no, and we need to be thankful even when He says no. 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 We were on vacation last week. We had all of our kids and grandkids together. And one night, my daughter made no-bake cookies. You know what no-bake cookies are? Loaf meal. You don't know what they are? You have not died and gone to heaven yet. No-bake cookies. It was good. But we made the mistake of giving my one-year-old granddaughter, Lily, some of that cookie dough. Some of those no-bake cookies. And boy, did she get wired. It was her bedtime. And man, she was just, she can't talk much, but boy, she was all over the place. She was bouncing off the walls. And I wish somebody had said to her, no, no. Probably would have been better for her if somebody had said, no, you can't have that. Sometimes God says to us no because He knows it's good for us. And we need to be thankful even when He says no. The fourth letter is supplication, S, and it stands for supplication. Supplication is when we ask God to supply our needs. It's found in verse 3, give us each day our daily bread. And then later on, verse 4, and lead us not into temptation. And the book of Matthew talks about deliver us from evil. So we're asking God to supply not only our physical needs and our material needs, but we're also asking Him to help us with our spiritual needs as well. And notice we are not supposed to pray once a month or twice a year or even once a week. But it says, give us this day our daily bread. We're supposed to pray daily. We're supposed to talk to God daily. We're supposed to ask Him to meet the needs of our life today. Now, it's all right to pray for the future. It's all right to pray long term. But we don't pray long term and then don't come back to God for months at a time. We go to Him the next day and ask for the same thing. We keep asking day by day. We are to come to God every day and talk to Him about the needs in our life. That's supplication. We ask Him to supply. That's where the word supplication comes from. We're asking Him to supply our physical needs, our material needs, and our spiritual needs. Give us today, Lord, our daily bread. Now, there's a lot of things to be thankful for, and there's a lot of things to ask God to supply. And there's a lot of application to what I've shared today. But when we come together to pray, the model prayer gives us this model for praying. And every time we come to God, we spend some time adoring Him, praising Him for His character, His nature, and His purpose. Then we confess to Him our sins, our weaknesses, our selfishness, our sinfulness, and ask His forgiveness. Then we thank Him for what He has done. The difference between praise, and sometimes we confuse praise and thanksgiving. We praise Him for who He is. We thank Him for what He's done. I thank You, God, that I have hands with which to work. I thank You, God, that I have eyes with which to see. I thank You, God, that I have ears with which to hear. I thank You, God, that I have a mouth with which to speak. I thank You, God, that I have clothes on my back. I thank You that I have a car to drive. I thank You, God, that I have a shelter over my head. I thank You, God, that I have a job that I can work. I thank You, God, for my children. I thank You, God, for my family. I thank You, God, for my church. There's a lot of things you can be thankful for. But we thank God, we praise God, and then we ask God the very last thing, and this is where most of us start. Now, God, supply my needs. Lord, I need some food on my table today. I need a little help with that. God, could You help me? I have some needs that I need to meet for my family. Could You help me with that? But a lot of times we start with our need, and we leave all the other elements of prayer out. And that's the last place we should go. We should start with praise, confession, thanksgiving, and ultimately end with supplication. Having said that, I want to give you these four points. Now, a lot of times people tell me, Pastor, I can't pray. I've never prayed in public. Don't want to pray in public, and that's okay. Public prayers are important, but they're not near as important as our private prayers. But I believe this, every Christian can pray, should pray, and should know how to pray. And the model prayer gives us basically four simple prayers that all of us can pray. And I can't think of a prayer. I've tried to think of another prayer that would go outside of these four simple prayers, and I can't think of one, and they're based on the model prayer, but it's these four simple prayers. Oh God, I praise You, and then you fill in the blank. I praise You for, and it's His character, His nature, and His purpose. Now think about that. You can spend some time, if you can't think of one, pick up a hymn book sometime. Start going through the hymn book and look at all the ways that they praise God in the hymn book. You can praise Him for His love. You can praise Him for His goodness. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. You can praise Him for His salvation. You can praise Him for a lot of things, but it's His character, His nature, and His purpose. And you just can spend some time there. And I would encourage you, every time you pray, spend 3, 4, 5 minutes just spending time praising God for who He is. And if you love to sing, then put on a praise song and sing Him through songs of praise. Just sing to the Lord. Nobody else has to hear you. My best singing I do in the shower, nobody hears me except maybe my wife in the next room. And I just sing praise to the Lord. I just sing praise to the Lord. And man, it's amazing how good you sound in the shower, Brother Bill. I mean, if you sing in the shower and nobody hears you, are you really singing? God knows. That's sort of a, never mind. The second prayer is, "Oh God, I thank you. Oh God, I thank you." For, and start thanking God. Think about the material things God has given you. Home, a car, a job, a dog, a wife, children, grandchildren. You can thank God for a lot of things. Your physical health. You thank God for those things. Thank God for the simple things. Thank God for food on your table. Thank God for shoes on your feet. Thank you, God, for clothes on your back. You can thank God for a lot of things. You can thank God for the beauty in the morning. You wake up and see the sunrise. You go to bed and see the sunset. You go out and look at the night stars. You can praise Him for His handiwork. There's a lot of things you can praise Him for. There's a lot of things you can thank Him for. Thank God for what He has done in your life. The material, the physical, the spiritual. Think about the spiritual things, God. God has given you His Spirit to live inside of you. Thank Him for that. God lives inside of you. Thank Him for that. God has given you salvation. Thank Him for that. God has promised you heaven. Thank Him for that. There's so much you can be thankful for. The second, or the third, is, "Oh God, forgive." And this is a two-way prayer. "Oh God, forgive." And notice it says here in the Scripture, "Oh God, forgive us our sins." He doesn't say, "Forgive me my sins." He says, "Forgive us our sins." And the reason Jesus taught it that way is because forgive me prayers are both petition, we pray for ourselves, "Oh God, forgive me for my sin." But you remember Jesus, as He hung on the cross, what did He pray? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You remember what Stephen prayed as he was being stoned? Not stoned, but stoned with literal stones. He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The same prayer Jesus prayed. And Jesus taught us to pray for others. That's intercession. That's where we seed in others' behalf. So when we come to forgive prayers, we're praying, "God, forgive me," petition, and "God, forgive them," intercession. So it's still a simple prayer, and we can pray for God to forgive us. You know people that you love and you care for, they're misbehaving, and you can pray that God would forgive them for the way they're misbehaving, for the way they're living, for the things they've said. Maybe they've hurt you. Maybe they've hurt you, said something they shouldn't have. Just pray for God's forgiveness. You forgive them, and then pray for God to forgive them in their life. And the last one is, "Oh God, help." And again, this too concludes both petition and intercession. "Oh God, help me." Help me what? Help me be a better father. Help me be a better husband. Help me be a better granddad. Help me be a better pastor. Help me be a better preacher. Help me to be a better Christian. Help me be a follower of Christ. God, help me just get through the day. I'm not feeling good. Can you help me physically so that I can just get through the day? Help me with my illness. Help me with my aches and pains. Help me. We can pray those help me prayers, but also we need to pray for God to help others. And every morning we focus, every Sunday morning we come together and we focus on intercession, praying for others, meeting others' needs. It's all right to ask God to help your needs, but we don't just need to pray about our needs. We need to also pray for the needs of others. These are all important prayers, and I do believe that the model prayer gives us a basis. Now, The reason I wrote all these out in your bulletin is for you to take them home and use them. You say, I don't pray very much in my private life. Well, start. Say these simple words. And even if it starts with four basic sentences or six basic sentences, oh God, I praise you for, and put in one word and start there. Oh God, I thank you for, and put in one word and start there. Oh God, forgive me for, put in one word and start there. Oh God, forgive my friend, put in one word and start there. Oh God, help me, put in one word and start there. Oh God, help my friend, and put in one word and start there. If that's the only prayer you start with, it's a start. But every one of us can do that. If we are children of God, we can at least start there and begin to pray for one another. Now, when you came in this morning, and if you picked up a bulletin, I hope you did, there's a sheet in there that talks about pray for every home. I've already signed up, and I started yesterday praying for 100 homes in my community. They send me 5 names a day. They give me the names and addresses of the people who live in my community. And my wife and I actually went out and walked in the cul-de-sac, and we prayed for every one of those individuals by name. And if you sign up, you can do the same thing. If you don't get it prayed for on any particular day, what happens? They send you the same list of names the next day until you mark them off as having been prayed for. But what we're challenging you to do over a 20-day period or a 30-day period, to pray for 100 names of people in your community. And here's what I'd like to see eventually happen, is that our church would pray for every home in Deer Park and Pasadena. That's what I'd like to see happen. And that's when we get them all prayed for. We just start over and do it again. But we have a chance to pray for people by name. We know very little about them except their names and where they live. But we pray for them by name. And I believe prayer makes a difference. I'm going to show you a video of a testimony of a gentleman. Exactly, he has that to say. Prayer made a difference in his life. And I hope you'll listen to his testimony, and it will challenge us to pray for others as well.
Raised in a rough home, foster homes, rough home. My dad remarried. We went to Southern Baptist Church. They quit drinking, man, and it was really cool in my home. But what was really cool was being able to see the church firsthand, and it was a little dinky old Southern Baptist church in Lakeside, California. And so I was saved there, but, you know, I ran from God after that because in my group of people that I started hanging out with, from jocks to the military to outlaw gang leaders, it wasn't cool for you to say that you believed in God. And so I didn't share anything. Even my own wife for many years didn't know what I had studied at California Baptist College, be a music minister, blobby, blobby, and going on. But, you know, I went through my first stint in prison, Chino State Prison, for smuggling a pound of heroin across the border. I got 5 to life. God was trying to reach me there. And, you know, there was times when I prayed to him, but they were foxhole prayers. Do this for me, I'll do that for you, and never really completing. So I don't count that as good prayers, you know. But then I went through 14 and a half years of growing pot, doing all this craziness, and I ended up in a place, Rapid City, South Dakota, and I was dealing so much meth that when I got busted there, they called it the biggest methamphetamine bust in the Black Hills. And there's a lot of gang stuff goes on at Sturgis and everything, so I controlled that whole area. So when I went to my penitentiary, I thought I was Mr. Tough Guy, you know, but inside I was just hurting. I mean, I had a family, you know, I left my wife pregnant. It was not a good story in that way, not a good legacy for a man to leave his family. Well, little did I know what was happening, and my family had moved back up from San Diego in this little dinky Southern Baptist church, Ridgecrest Baptist Church. And this guy had a little dinky ponytail, I'll never forget it. You know, I thought, so he's trying to look cool for a pastor, isn't he? His radio name was Reverend Jesse Moore. But he invited my wife and my two children every Friday night to go down to the church, and they fed them. And that was the first inkling to me that something was going on. And I didn't know what that something was, but I knew it was good. And I'm an old gangster man, you know, in my heart. And this is the way we think. And that is, if you're nice to us, really nice, then I owe you. And it's not a good oh, don't get me wrong, but it's something, you know, that I'll pay you back, you know. So check this out. So I'm going to Ridgecrest Baptist Church when I get out of the penitentiary finally. And it was a rough haul too. It was a long time. I got busted on a RICO. I did federal, state time. It was just really a lot of... And my daughter ran from me because she didn't know me. It was just very hurtful for me to see the destruction I did to my family. So I go to this little dinky old church, and Sunday morning I said, I'm going to challenge you, God. Let's see what you got. And I wore my cut, except it was kind of outlaw looking. It wasn't all this Christian stuff here, you know. And I had bandana and shades, and I'm just glaring at the little ponytail preacher up there, you know. And they're playing guitars. I'm going, what are they trying to do? Look cool here? What's the deal, you know? And all throughout the service, I'm just starting to get broke down, you know. And little did I know, and I found out later, that there was a little old lady in the group, you know, but this little old lady had met my wife and my two little children and broke her heart, man. And she's praying for that convict in the penitentiary named Alan. I'm an old RoboCop guy, so I'm watching all y'all, man, because I want to know where everybody is. All the time, I still have that. It's crazy. And I'm in the back pew of the church, and she's in the other back pew over here, but I'm cool because she's a little lady. What can she do, you know? And all of a sudden, at the invitation, she gets up, and I see her walking my way. I'm going, no, 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 no. Keep going, man. The door is that way. And she came up, tapped me on the shoulder, and I literally started shaking, you know. And I looked and I said, yes. And yes, ma'am. And she said, are you Alan? And I said, yeah, I'm Alan. And she goes, I know your wife, I know your children, and we've been praying for you. Welcome home. Now, how did this little old lady know to say the right words at the right time to a guy that needed to see something? And that was a welcome from a church. And then for her next words to say that she had been praying for me this whole time. It broke my heart, man. I mean, it broke this old tough guy down. And I said, okay, God, so you're going to play the little old lady thing, huh, honey? And he did, and it worked. You know, it's like, how can we know how this works, this prayer thing, you know? Well, we know by the validation of those moments when you don't know anybody from anywhere and they come up and they tell you what's been going on with your life and why they're praying for you. And it was through that prayer, man. All those prayers, I believe, brought me back because I kept hearing that voice of God. Oh, amen, amen, amen.
The effective prayer of a fervent, righteous man avails much. And I want to challenge you to pray.